Thanks for listening to this edition of our podcast. I believe your faith will grow as a result of hearing God's Word today. I hope you'll take the time to subscribe and feel free to leave comments. Click on my Become a Fan link. Email your friends and help us get the word out.
Now, truth number five. We're going to cover truth number five, and that's this. We appropriate His promises by faith. Say it together with me or write it in your notes. We appropriate His promises by faith. That means this, that everything God said He would do for you, He will do for you on the condition that you believe. There's a whole lot of promises that apply to people who are never going to receive it. For instance, Jesus died to save every man, but there's going to be a lot of people in hell who went to hell in spite of the fact that Jesus died to save them. And there are a lot of people that are going to be sick in their body in spite of the fact that Jesus took stripes on His back that they might be healed. There's going to be a whole lot of people that are walking around as poorer than Job's turkey, broke, busted, and disgusted because they have not believed God for prosperity. And more than believing, because remember something, obedience is the fruit of faith. If you do nothing, if your faith does not motivate you to action, then you have what the Apostle James called dead faith. Kind of like having a battery in your car. You go out there and leave your lights on. Well, nowadays they shut themselves off. But every car I've ever owned, you got to turn that light on for yourself. Because if you don't, you're going to have a dead battery. And you go out there and you get click, 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 click. Say, you got a battery in that car? Yes, sir, I got a battery in that car. How come your car won't start? I don't know why it won't start. But click, 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 click. It's got a dead battery. How do you know it's dead? Because if it was alive, the car would start. How do you know whether your faith is alive or dead? By your actions. How did Jesus see those four men's faith? He saw it by their actions. Let me tell you something. You can claim to believe all kinds of things, but if the actions don't accompany it, then you got no faith, or you got some dead faith. And you might need to hook it up to the juice. All right. So dead faith isn't going to help you much. In fact, it's not going to help you at all. So we appropriate His promises by faith. Let's find that in the Word of God tonight, because I don't want to just give you a truth and then have you think that that came out of my head or my heart. It comes out of the Word. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. These are power verses here, folks. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 will change your life if you get it in your spirit. It says, and this is the confidence. The word confidence is the same Greek word as faith. And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Confidence is faith. Confidence is faith. And if we ask anything according to His will, how do we know if something is God's will? It's revealed in His Word. How about healing? Is healing the will of God? Is it revealed in His Word as the will of God? Well, I'll tell you about this. A lot of people think God can, but they don't know if God will. And if they think God will, they don't know if God will for me. Now, let's settle that. Let's settle that right now. Because I don't want you going around being mistaken about this. Old Paul said this, I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant, all right? Jesus had an occasion where a man came to Him and his theology was just a little bit off kilter. And you know, you don't have to be a whole lot wrong to be wrong enough to cause you a lot of trouble. You just have to be a little bit wrong. And a little bit wrong will mess you up big time. And this man was a leper, and he came to Jesus and he fell down at Jesus' feet and he said, Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean. Now, what he did is he made two statements. One of them was an interrogative or a doubtful statement. And it was this one, if you're willing. You see, what if you're willing did was throw out the positive statement he was about to make was, you can make me clean. See, he had no problem with Jesus's can. You can heal me. What I'm not sure of is if you're willing to do it for me. Some of us are living right there where that leprous man was. And if Jesus had not settled the question for him that day, that man would have died a leper. Jesus had a twofold statement. The man had a twofold statement. Do you remember his twofold statement? Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus replied with a twofold answer. He said, I will be clean. Twofold statement. I will be clean. And the man was healed. He reached out and touched him. Now I'll tell you something. It was not the touch of Jesus that healed this man. The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion for this man. Understand, a leper could not be touched. And so his mama couldn't even hold him and say, son, I'm here for you. His children couldn't climb up on his lap and say, daddy, we feel bad that you're sick. His wife couldn't take his hand and just stroke his hand or even wipe his fevered brow to give him any comfort at all. So he had not been touched by anybody. And the very first touch he felt from the time that he was declared sick was Jesus' touch. Jesus touched him because Jesus is moved with compassion. Jesus is compassionate. I want you to understand that. That's very important for you to understand. But understand that compassion, the compassion of Jesus isn't what heals you. Just because Jesus is compassionate, you don't think Jesus is compassionate when he looks down in these third world countries and sees these little babies with flies flying into their eyes and up their noses and in their mouths and their big swollen bellies and their legs so small they can barely stand on them. You don't think his heart is ripped out with compassion? Of course it is. But it's not compassion that gets anything done in this world. Only faith and faith put to action does anything in this world. Compassion would just sit there and make you cry. But Jesus was motivated, moved by compassion. And so compassion caused his faith to spring into action. And he said those words that really brought the healing. He said, I will be clean. Now how do I know that I will, which was the answer for the leper, is the same answer for you? Because we know, one, that God is not a respecter of persons. And if I will was the answer for that leprous man 2,000 years ago, we know Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the what? Same yesterday, today, and forever. And if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he doesn't love that leper any more than he loves you, Jay, or loves you, Pastor Carol, if Jesus is the same and he loves everybody the same, then I will for that leper is I will for you. Amen. Right now, right here, tonight. All right, so the question is settled, and the if is out the door. All right? So the promises of God are appropriated by faith. If we ask anything according to his will, so we've settled that it's his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, oh, I'm getting about ready to tell you something that made me shout. If we know he hears us, we know we have what we ask for. If we know he hears us, have you ever thought, I'm praying, but I don't know if you're listening. I don't know if you're listening as good as I'm talking. Because I wonder if you hear me. Be honest, you ever wondered if God heard you pray? Anybody? Come on, nod your head. Let me hear the rocks rattle around in there. Have you ever wondered if God heard you pray? Now let me ask you another question. You ever said something real ugly and nasty to somebody and doubted God heard you? You know he heard you when you said that mess. When you say something ugly about somebody else, you know he heard you. Now God is a good God. And he's not sitting up there in heaven with a big baseball bat ready to whack you on your head as soon as you do something wrong. He's a compassionate, loving God. And if you know he heard you when you said that stupid mess, you got to know that he heard you when you called out his name in prayer. So he heard you when you prayed. There have been times I wondered if God heard me when I prayed, but I never doubt he heard me when I said something stupid or something ugly. I've always known it. And so we can have confidence that he hears us. I'm getting better at stepping over this. We appropriate the promise by faith. Did I get all of that verse? If we know he hears us, we have the petitions that we desire of him. Yes. All right. Truth number 6. Write it down or quote it with me. We receive faith by hearing the word. Say it with me. We receive faith by hearing the word. You say, well, maybe I don't have any faith. I don't know if I've got faith. Here's how you get faith. You get faith by the word of God. Now, the more the word of God you take in, the more faith you take in. If you're constantly steeping your mind in the word of God, for instance, I have the Bible on CD. It's in my car. As soon as I hit that key, that Bible starts to play. Oh, Alexander Scorby giving me the word for word King James Version of the Bible right in my spirit, man. And it's flooding into me at all the time. And I can't help but get more faith as I listen to the word of God. I've been flipping on television. If the children aren't watching cartoons, I got somebody on TV, Brother Osteen or Brother Copeland or somebody on there, Brother Sister Hickey. Somebody's on the television giving me the word because I want to be constantly taking it in. I'm a hog. I want it all, you know. Get all you can all you get, sit on the lid. You got to get that word in you. And what happens, faith grows as you do that. Now, let's look at how faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17, you probably already know it and can quote it to me. It says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Consequently, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the promises of God are appropriated by faith, then guess what? Healing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you think I just pulled that rabbit out of a hat just now? There's nothing up my sleeve but a hairy arm. I assure you that. But I'm going to tell you something. That's Bible. Psalm 107, verse 20 says this. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. How did he heal them? By sending his word. His word was sent. Let me tell you something. You don't have to convince God to send his word. He's already sent it. How many of you have a copy of it in your hand and you can wave it at me? His word's already been sent. And so you don't have to beg and cry and plead and use up a box of Kleenex trying to convince God to heal you because he's already sent his word. He's not going to send you another one. He's only got one word. And so if you're waiting for him to do something else in order that you might be healed, guess what? You're backing up because he's already sent his word and healed. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so consequently, healing comes by that same word. Are you ready to move on to truth number 7? Big number 7. We're coming around the mountain here tonight. We release faith by what we say. That's truth number 7. Let's say it out loud together. We release faith by what we say. We were created in the image of a creator who created by what he said. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke and worlds into existence. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And so it's the word of God that releases life and releases healing and releases blessing and releases prosperity into your life. I was walking around this church and it occurred to me, it came into my spirit that I'm going to be preaching in large conferences. It never occurred to me to be preaching at large conferences before. You know, these big conferences, convention centers and things like that. I'd never thought about that. I even wanted to do that. But it came into my spirit to speak that. And so I began to prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And the faith was on me at that moment. Yesterday, as I was walking around this church, and I said, I'm going to be preaching in large conferences all over the world. And so I will be. And I'll try to get y'all tickets for free. See if we can work out lunch. But I believe in that. You see, it's by our words that we release our faith into our situation. We can release faith for healing, and we release faith for finances, and release faith for our loved ones to be saved. And don't speak anything else, because you can release faith in wrong things. You can release faith that will keep you bound, and release faith that will keep you sick, and you can release faith that will keep you discouraged and defeated and depressed. So don't go around speaking things like, oh, I'm so depressed, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so sick, I can't stand that guy. And then you trip and fall. I don't know why you've tripped and fell, because you just said you can't stand. Quit releasing faith in evil things and in wrong things and putting curses on yourself, but release faith by your words, and it'll bless you. So I want you to say this truth, number 7, with me one more time. We release faith by what we say. Now again, we've got to go to the Bible, and we've got to prove this is true by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 8, 9, and 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 8, 9, and 10. Are you ready? Romans chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. Here we go. We'll read together. Excuse me, I have the hiccups. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Where should the word be? On your shelf? In the back window of your Chevrolet? It should be near you. It should be in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, which means we proclaim it. We speak it out. It comes out of our mouth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That means confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Lord of what? Lord of everything. Lord over cancer. Lord over poverty. Lord over the financial systems of this world. Lord over this county and city and state and nation. He's Lord over whatever it is that concerns you. He is Lord. And we will confess Jesus is Lord. And believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And folks, if death wasn't enough to stop Jesus, your little circumstance won't be enough to stop him either. Believe with your, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now this wonderful word saved comes from the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. Write that down if you're writing things down. Sozo. The word sozo is the all-inclusive word of the gospel. When God says sozo, it means healing, deliverance, miracles, prosperity, perseverance, preservation, protection. Everything that God could possibly give a human being is capsulized in that wonderful word, sozo, which here is translated saved. You think it just means saved so that you can get into heaven someday when you die. This is a big word. It means everything. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, which means healed, delivered, prospered, blessed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It takes not just the belief in the heart, but the confession of your mouth. Look at Mark chapter 11, and we're going to close up tonight and get ready to pray for folks. Mark chapter 11. I thought I'd go faster, but for some reason I get excited and end up preaching long. But look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 23 and 24, and then we're going to start praying for folks. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. Remember, tomorrow night is also going to be a healing service. Tomorrow night, we're going to have another healing service. What we're doing is we're soaking you in the truth of the Word of God. And as you soak in truth, your faith is going to rise to a higher level, and you're going to receive. And this place, this atmosphere, I believe God can charge a building, a place, this geographical location with His anointing, so that when people walk in this building tomorrow night, they're going to be healed by the power of God. and we're going to preach the word again, and their faith will rise to a new level. But your faith is getting stirred up big time tonight. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, remember what we said? Faith is released by what we say. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou, excuse me, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Three times he tells us that things happen when we speak, because we release our faith by what we say. And then in verse 24 it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray. Prayer is important. A lot of people think, you know, God's going to do whatever he gets ready to do, whether I pray or not. Let me tell you something, that's a lie. God only moves in the earth by the faith of his people. Otherwise, God has established natural laws. Laws of gravity and things like that. You know what, though? Faith can transcend those laws. Jesus walked on water by what? Faith. And so that's how he walked on water. He transcended natural laws by faith. He spoke to storms, and the storms were still. And you could say, yeah, that was God. But wait a minute. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, you may not be ready to handle this one, but I'm going to tell you something. Everything Jesus did, he did as a man. Yes, he was God in the flesh. But he, in Philippians chapter 2, we read that he laid aside his divinity. He took it off before he came down here to earth. And he laid aside his divinity, and he took on the robes of humanity, and he clothed himself in flesh. And so he knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be thirsty. He knew what it was to hurt. He knew what it was to bleed. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to walk around in human flesh like we do. But the Bible says in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It didn't say he did it because he was God. It says he did it because God was with him. Guess what? Same anointing and same God is available to you today. And so everything that Jesus did by faith through the anointing, you can do by faith through the anointing. And that's why John chapter 12 and verse 14 says this, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to my Father in heaven. Jesus did nothing on earth as God, the God-man. Everything he did on earth, he did as a man anointed by God. So we release faith by what we say. Now the New Testament only tells us one way to receive healing, and that's in James chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. You can read a lot and learn a lot about healing, and there's much in the Word of God about it. But as far as specific instructions for Christians who are sick in their body, I only know of one scripture, and it's in James chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14. It says, is there any sick among you, let him pray. Is any afflicted? Any afflicted among you, let him pray. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Only one prescription in the Bible for sickness, and it doesn't matter whether that sickness is cancer or a headache. It doesn't matter whether it afflicts your body, your mind, or whatever it may be. There's only one command, and that's for you to call for the elders and have them anoint you and pray over you, the prayer of faith. And so tonight is a healing service. I'd like Pastor and Sister Carol to come tonight. You
have been good to me. Thanks again for listening. You can click on other links on this page to view my videos, hear original songs, read my blogs, and just keep in touch. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Until next time, this is Michael Chauncey saying, God bless. And I will praise you forever.